I would imagine that most pulpits today who have a Bible upon it are open to Proverbs chapter 31. Okay, it's a very popular Mother's Day theme, though I've never preached on it before. Okay? As you know, when Mother's Day comes, I usually avoid a typical Mother's Day topic, though sometimes I have. In the last couple of years, I had a Mother's Day topic. But in Proverbs chapter 31, we have the story of the virtuous mother or the virtuous woman. And we'll go through verse by verse. At first, we come across a name that is strange to our ears. The words of King Lemuel. Lemuel. Who in the world is Lemuel, right? The words of King Lemuel. The prophecy that his mother taught him. Most rabbinical scholars believe this is another name for Solomon. And his mother then would be whom? Bathsheba. Okay. And even many Christian scholars believe that Lemuel is referring to King Solomon. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. So what comes across in Proverbs 31 are the teachings of Bathsheba to her son Solomon. What, my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows, give not thy strength unto women. The first thing she says, watch out for women, okay? Look out. Give not thy strength unto women. And of course, Solomon did not heed his mother's words, did he? Okay. The first woman he married was the daughter of Pharaoh, okay, an unbeliever. Right? And then there were 699 wives following that, okay, plus his mistresses. Right? So really the bottom line is, listen to what mom has to say, okay, when she gives godly advice. First thing out of her mouth, give not thy strength unto women, and then nor thy ways to that which destroys king. And what is that? Is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor the princes strong drink. He also failed there, okay? For he writes in Ecclesiastes, I gave myself to wine, for merriment, to music, okay? I withheld not any good thing from my eyes. Whatever I saw, I took, okay, including wine, right? And he ended up saying, all this is vanity and vexation of spirit. Okay? He had to learn the hard way. Okay? Lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment any of the afflicted. What does this strange name, Lemuel, mean? It probably was a specific pet name that she had for her son. It meant belonging to God. Solomon, you belong to God. Like Hannah, who dedicated her unborn son. Lord, if you give me a son, I will give him to you. He will belong to you. Lemuel, belonging to God. This is what a mother wishes for her children. Not wealth, not prestige, not fame, but your gods. Be gods. Let's look at how Bathsheba spoke to Solomon and the counsel she gave him. Open thy mouth for the dumb, the silent, in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. This is something what's happening today with the abortions. These little unborn children have no voice to speak. And she is saying, Solomon, defend those who have no voice, those who are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. And then Bathsheba goes on to say, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Now, we could go to the dictionary, which I did, number of dictionaries to try and define virtuous. I went to the Hebrew to try and define virtuous. But then I thought, you know, let the text define it for us. Because what follows in the next 22 verses defines what a virtuous mother is. And it's interesting to note that from verse 10 and following, verses 10 through 31, there are 22 verses there. It is acrostic. Acrostic means it begins with a special letter. There are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. There are 22 verses from 10 to 31. Each one of these verses begins with, in succession, okay, in consecutive order, a letter from the Hebrew alphabet. Okay. It's used elsewhere in Scripture too, especially in the Psalms. Why? Okay. It's not just poetic, but from the ancient Greek, it means the highest and the topmost. Okay. And so it was similar in the Hebrew. It is the highest and it is the topmost. And so verses 10 through 31 each began in consecutive order with a letter from the Hebrew alphabet. Why? Because what Bathsheba is describing is of the utmost importance to her son. Find a virtuous wife. Okay. Who can find a virtuous woman? Who is going to be the mother of your children? Her price is far above rubies. In 1 Kings chapter 3, we read where God had asked Solomon, "What is it you want? Ask me what you will, and I'll give it to you." And he could have asked for rubies. Instead, he asked for wisdom. "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people." Remember, that's what his mother said. Okay? "Defend the weak. Reach out to the poor, to the downtrodden, to those who have no voice. Reach out to them." And here he takes the advice of his mother. "Give me an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who was able to judge this thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, "Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thy enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment, I'll give you that and everything else." What is a virtuous mother? Again, let the text define that for us. The heart of her husband, back in Proverbs 31, verse 11 and 12, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. He has nothing to fear from her. She's not going to belittle him. She's not going to undermine his work. She's not going to badmouth him. Her husband can trust in her safely. He can commit the household to her. He can trust her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. He never has to go out anywhere and get anything, because all provided, his wife takes care of it. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Bathsheba to Solomon finds such a woman. This is a virtuous woman. In verses 13 and 14, "She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands." She is hardworking. She joyfully, that's what it means, willingly, she joyfully works with her hands. She goes and she seeks the material that she needs. She doesn't just wait for it. She goes out and she gets it. She works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. There's no distance so great. There's no journey too long that she will not take for her family, for her husband and her children. This is a virtuous mother. There's no distance too far. In verse 15, she rises also while it is yet night. The night doesn't frighten her. The nighttime is not her signal to sleep only. For the virtuous mother, for the virtuous woman, there's work to do, even at night. There are things to take care of, even while others may be resting. She does not. She rises also while it is yet night and giveth meat or prepares food for her household. Not just her husband, not just her children, but her household, her servants, and a portion to her maidens. She is as concerned for the servants in the house as she is for her children. Why? Because a virtuous woman, a virtuous mother, is filled with love. She is not a respecter of persons. She will not treat anyone inferior. In verse 16, she considers a field and she buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. And this has two meanings. With what she has earned, with what she has saved, she expands the territory for her family as the family grows. Or they need a field to plant new crops. It also means she's out there too, digging in the dirt. Not unwilling to get her hands dirty for her family and her household. Verse 17, she sets about her work vigorously. She's not lazy. She's not slothful. Remember what Solomon said. He said, look to the ant, thou sluggard, okay, who prepares its food, okay, gets ready for the winter. She has done this. Okay. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She prays, though she be the weaker vessel, and her husband may be out chopping down a tree, she still has work to do and she prays for strength. The virtuous woman is a woman who knows her weakness, but also knows there's a God who gives strength, a God who is rich in grace. Verses 18 and 19. She perceives that her merchandise is good, that what she does craft with her hands is something worthy. It's not junk. What she makes for her children is good. What she does for her family is good. What she does for her servants is good. She perceives that her merchandise is good. Her candle goes not out by night. Again, laboring into the long night hours. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff, even though she has servants. Even though this woman we perceive to be somewhat wealthy, yet she does the work of a servant. She doesn't just give tasks for people to do. If a servant's doing something, she assists that servant. If she needs help, she'll ask the servant. But she lays her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff, not just for her family. She would not be a virtuous mother if all she was concerned about was her family. She would receive no praise from us. She would not have a place in Scripture. She would not be called a virtuous woman if all her work, all her labor, all her toil was just for her family. No, we read in the next verse, she stretches out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. This is how God defines, not Webster, not dictionary.com. This is how God defines a virtuous mother. She works hard, day and night, caring for her children, her husband, her servants, and not forgetting to reach out to the poor, stretching out her hands to the needy. In the next two verses, we see this. She is not afraid of the snow. Why isn't she afraid of the snow for her household? Because she has prepared for the winter. She makes sure that her husband has chopped enough wood. She makes sure that they have enough clothing. She makes sure that there's enough food in the pantry. This is her job, to run the household. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. Now the word scarlet in the Hebrew really doesn't mean just the color only, which was a good winter color to wear, but it also meant double layers. She made sure her children were bundled up. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Those are for the bed, to keep the children warm, to keep the servants warm. Her clothing is silk and purple. And so she dresses nicely. But she makes sure everyone is cared for in her household. In verse 23, her husband, and this is because of her being virtuous, because of her nobility, because of her godliness, because of her love, her kindness, the way she treats people, her husband is known in the gates. That's what that means in the Hebrew. Her husband receives praise because of his virtuous wife. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Not every elder had a virtuous wife. Not all children have virtuous, godly mothers. Again, this is Bathsheba, who knew what sin was like, didn't she? She knew sin because she committed adultery with Solomon's father David. And through that adultery, her husband Uriah was killed. And so here's a mother who learned through experience what it means to be virtuous, who at one time was not. And God gives virtue through his grace to those who are not virtuous. Her husband is known in the gates because of her virtue. She makes linen, garments, and sells them, and supplies the merchants with sashes. In other words, whatever it takes to put food on the table, whatever it takes to make sure the house is run well, whatever it takes, if I have to make garments and sell them, and supply the merchants with material, I'll do it. Whatever it takes. That's the definition of a virtuous mother, of a virtuous woman. Whatever it takes. And we can apply that to the spiritual realm too. A virtuous mother will say, whatever it takes to get my children in heaven. Whatever it takes to get my sons and my daughters saved. Whatever it takes. Whatever I have to do. No matter how far I have to journey. No matter what, have to work my fingers to the bone, whatever it takes to get my children saved. That's a virtuous mother, a virtuous woman. Verse 25 and 26, she is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She does not fear the future. She's not sitting there worrying about tomorrow. She's preparing for the day. There's evil is sufficient for the day, said Jesus. And she knows that. She's not worried about the future. She's clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She's prepared for the future, whatever it brings. She speaks with wisdom. And faithful instruction is on her tongue. Not gossip. Not idle chatter. Not getting the ladies together for a coffee klatch and just, you know, talking about the latest gossip, what's going around. This is not a virtuous woman. And if the children hear their mother gossiping, they know they do not have a virtuous mother. She speaks with wisdom. Faithful instruction is on her tongue. No lying, no deceiving, no, oh, woe is me, oh, your daddy doesn't love me, oh, I have too much work to do. None of that. None of that. No complaining. A virtuous mother. In verse 27, she watches over the affairs of her household. She watches everything. She's looking in every corner. And she does not eat the bread of idleness. Though she would like to just collapse, like to just sit back and rest, and there are times when the godly mother must do that. She has to be ever watchful because something may awaken her or rouse her out of her rest. And the result of that is quite beautiful. She, her children arise and call her blessed. Her children will stand up and say, Mom, you are virtuous. Mom, you are to be honored. You are blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. And you know, that is what satisfies a virtuous mother. The thankfulness of her family. The praise of her husband. Bathsheba goes on to tell her son Solomon, many women do noble things, but the virtuous woman, you surpass them all. And you know, there are many noble causes that women get involved in, right? Women's rights, animal rights. There are so many noble causes. But the virtuous woman has the most noble of causes: to care for her family. Not to leave her family and abandon her family, but to care for them. This surpasses all other noble causes: her household, the salvation of her children, to have a godly home. The father is out working. She is the one. She is anchoring the home while he is out working. What we have in this virtuous mother is something that is lacking today. She says, charm, Mrs. Bathsheba, encouraging her son to find a virtuous wife who will be a virtuous mother to her children, his children. Charm is deceptive. Beauty is fleeting. Solomon, don't look for the prettiest girl. Don't have this list of exactly what you want your wife to look like: color eyes, color hair, figure, height, weight. That's not important. Charm is deceptive. All that changes. Beauty is fleeting. Doesn't last long. And if you set your heart on a woman, Solomon, because she's beautiful, you're going to be disappointed in 20 years. Or 30 years. Maybe sooner. Because the word of God says beauty is fleeting. It vanishes. But a woman who fears the Lord, and that tells us something about Mama Bathsheba. She feared the Lord now. She didn't when she took David's offer to sleep with him. She didn't fear God quite enough. But now she fears God. Charm is deceptive. Beauty is fleeting. Here's a woman, Bathsheba, who was so beautiful at one time that David had to take her. And I'm sure regretted her beauty because it ended up to be a curse, because it ended up having her husband killed. And the virtuous mother is not going to put her children in a beauty contest or get glamour photos of them, because beauty is nothing. It's emptiness, like everything else. It's the woman who fears the Lord is to be praised, not the beautiful woman. You know, there are many mothers that put their children in these beauty contests. Remember that little girl who was killed years ago? JonBenet, was it? Ramsey? You see how her mother dressed her up with makeup and clothing? This is a shame. And parents would regret it, wanting their child to walk down the catwalk, their daughter, as a model. Oh, they've made it, you know, making $1,000 a day. No, charm is deceptive. Beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned. Let her works bring her praise at the city gates. Again, this is acrostic language. This is the last now letter of the Hebrew language, begins this verse. It is of the highest order. That she is praised not for her outward beauty. Even our Savior, we read in Isaiah 53, he had no outward form of comeliness, beauty that we should desire him. It was all inner beauty. Peter tells the women in his epistle, he says, don't try to win your husbands with fixing up your hair and looking really delicious and good. No, let it be the hidden man of the hearts, which wins him over to Christ, if he will not be one with the word. Peter's not saying it's wrong for women to wear makeup, but saying this is not what's going to save your husband. It's the godliness, being a virtuous woman, a virtuous wife, a virtuous mother. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gates. Let's just recap what that definition, according to God, of a virtuous mother or virtuous woman is. Number one, her love. Shown not in professions and in demonstration of affection merely or only, but in trying to occupy faithfully her place. It is far better to show love than merely to speak it. So God wants to see our love to him in its signs. Her love, that love of God in her heart, made her a virtuous mother. Her work, number two, kinds of work for women differ according to their condition in society. But every woman should have her work. A woman's work is first the feeding and tending of her household. Beyond this, she may be able to work so as to earn. That highest calling of virtue upon a woman is not to abandon her children, to make extra money so they can have more things. In so doing, they may lose their children. But a virtuous mother will say her first work is her household, her work, her children. Her care, number three. In the ruling of her household, finding for each member work, food, and appropriate clothing, watching that nothing is either wanted or lost, and everything made the best of. Number four, her charity. Caring for the poor and distributing of her abundance to them. Why does God bless with abundance? Why does God make people rich? Why does he bless people so they can share, so they can give, they can help others? This is a virtuous woman. This is a virtuous mother. This is a virtuous person. This is a virtuous Christian. This is a virtuous church that has a heart for those who are in need. Caring for the poor and distributing of her abundance to them. How important, as an example to the children, is a generous, charitable mother. Not that her children wear the finest of clothing. Not that they go to the best schools. But they become loving, charitable people. Number five, her speech. Always prudent and kindly, never gossiping, never slandering, never hasty or passionate, ever firm but gentle. See how often otherwise good characters are spoiled by the unbridled tongue. And lastly, her praise. It comes from her husband, from her children, and even from her God. Supreme love to God, which is religion, is that which generates, animates, and adorns all other virtues of character, love for God. Why was this woman so virtuous? Because it was love for God. Who can find a virtuous woman? Bathsheba said to her husband. He never found one. Why? Because he wasn't looking for one. Anyone will do. Maybe enthralled by outward beauty, or by position in life, Pharaoh's daughter, what a good political arrangement that would be. You know what happened? They turned his heart away from the Lord. The bottom line is, listen to what a virtuous mother has to say. And I'm sure Solomon thought for a while, well, you know, my mom, you weren't always virtuous, Bathsheba. But he looked past that. We have to look past people's sins, their failings, to what Christ has done. God's grace is so wonderful, sufficient, able to change the unvirtuous, the ungodly, into beautiful pictures of righteousness. Yes, by God's grace, we become the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. So just that much today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for virtuous mothers, those who exemplify what Bathsheba told her son. That is not outward beauty. That mothers are just as beautiful when they're wrinkled and hunchback and lame, old and feeble, toothless, though they're just as virtuous, just as beautiful to people who have faith. We know, Lord, we live in a society where women feel so inferior when they compare themselves to the beautiful people. Lord, that beauty is vain, it's fleeting. A woman that fears the Lord, she's the one who will be praised. And may every mother here fear you, God, to depart from evil and to take these words of a mother once naughty, once sinful, and now filled with grace. May they take the words of this mother to her son, take them to heart, and say, yes, Lord, I want to be a virtuous mother, a virtuous woman. And Lord, for those of us who have mothers, we pray that for our mothers. For those whose mothers have passed away, we pray for others who have mothers. We know other mothers, Lord, who need to be made virtuous, who need to continue in this way. For surely they shall be praised. We thank you, Lord, for virtuous moms. I thank you for my mother, as she thanks you for her mother. And I heard many beautiful things about her mother, who died at a very young age. We thank you, Lord, for godly mothers. And may they grow and increase over the land. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.